wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say.
You are listening to the Prison Voices Project, a radio storytelling project highlighting the voices of people impacted by the prison system. The Prison Voices Project airs on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Hands On Community Radio 90.7 FM. If you are listening to the program and would like to share your story with the prison system, or you have ideas for the program, or you would like to get involved, please write to us at 704 Columbia Street, 2nd floor, Hudson, New York, 12534.
I wish I could give all I'm longing to give.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the Prison Voices Project. Today, we have a special interview with Robert Hayden and Odell Winfield. Robert and Odell grew up together, and after spending years in and out of prison, Robert, who came home just last June, has released a gospel album called Get Right. Odell Winfield is an organizer with End the New Jim Crow Network in the Mid-Hudson Valley. Today's program features music off of Robert Hayden's album, Get Right, as well as an interview with both Robert Hayden and Odell Winfield, so stay tuned. I just want to remind listeners that Monday, May 5th, is a day of action against prison injustices in New York State. On that day, there will be a group of people from Columbia and Greene counties, as well as people from all over the state of New York, attending morning legislative visits to support the HALT Act, which would significantly reduce the use of solitary confinement in New York State. People will also be participating in a 2:30 p.m. action for parole reform and a noon rally featuring Cornel West. If you would like a ride to Albany, I can help put you in touch with people who have extra room in their cars. So please send an email to prisonvoicesproject@gmail.com. And here is a PSA with more information on the rally on May 5th.
Join New York against incarceration injustice on Monday, May 5th. Cornel West will be the keynote speaker at a noon rally in the East Capitol Park in Albany. The rally will be followed by a march and legislative visits that demand a stop to solitary confinement, parole reform, release of aging prisoners, an end to discrimination of formerly incarcerated people, and a Truth and Reconciliation Commission that examines the racism and injustice in the prison system. For more information on the day of action or to find out about transportation, contact nysprisonerjustice@gmail.com or call 518-434-4037. Hello, and welcome to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. Today, we are joined in the studio here in Hudson, New York, by Odell Winfield, who is coming from the End the New Jim Crow Action Network, the campaign to end mass incarceration, as well as Robert Hayden, who recently released a CD called Get Right. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming to the studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So let's just start off, Odell Winfield and Robert Hayden. Tell me a little bit about how you all know each other and, you know, how you've gotten involved in organizing here on the outside around the prison system.
Well, me and Odell, we grew up together from childhood. And it was in the 60s, and there was a lot of activism going on, and people were going different ways with following, whether it was the Black Muslims or whether it was the Black Panthers. And we got interested in what was going on, what we were seeing happening in Alabama with Martin Luther King and the marches and things like that. So we were concerned about issues at that particular time. And I knew that with me, I didn't know which way to go it for a while, you know, because a lot of my friends were going to the Black Panthers, and some people were going to the Black Muslims, and all the other different ideologies that came on the scene at that particular time. But what I decided to do was to to follow Martin Luther King. And I stayed with the Bible, and I wanted to be concerned with what was going on in the prisons, because I had watched on TV 1971, the Attica riot, and that really moved my heart to get involved in the prison system and what was going on. And I took it to a level at that particular time of going and setting myself up, and it might sound a little crazy to some people, but to go in and really experience it, and to see why those guys got killed. I mean, because it wasn't only inmates, it was also officers also. And Odell can tell you about his side of it, and we can just bounce off of each other, if that's okay.
Like Rob said, we was raised together. Most of the time, we was imitating either gangsters that we knew, mm-hmm. or we was reading, you know, certain books. Me, myself, I read a lot of Frantz Fanon's book, Wretched of the Earth, Dying Colonialism. And by the time I became a certified criminal, it was when I walked into the yard in prison and seen 90% of the people that was in the yard was African American. And I kept wondering, why so many of us, are we that stupid in committing crimes that we get caught? You know, I really got an education as I was doing time. The second part of that was the majority of the people that I met in prison was illiterate, couldn't read or write. And so, you know, that's where I came in. I started helping people with being able to write letters at home, showing them different ways of searching out their criminal conviction. And it gave me, it helped me learn about the criminal justice system. By the time I got out and had moved to Albany, I was so involved in the criminal injustice system that I started working on a halfway house. And the halfway house was called Horizon House. And as far as I know, it's still standing. You know, lately, I run a library called the Sadie Peterson Delaney African Roots Library in Poughkeepsie. And I'm still doing prison work. And one of the book reads that we did at the library was Michelle Alexander's book, The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration During in the Age of Colorblindness. And it helped me educate people in the community about what mass incarceration really is. And so many of the folks that was in the book read decided that they wanted to do something more. So we created an organization called Engine in the New Jim Crow Action Network. And now from the Lower Hudson up to Kingston, we are all a part of, we have different groups of Engine.
What is the work that Engine and the New Jim Crow Action Network does, and how could people who are interested in getting involved, how could they find out more information?
They can go to our webpage. It's called engine.org, and they can find out the what Engine is doing, where we meet. We meet twice on the second Tuesday and the fourth Tuesday in Kingston at the New Progressive Baptist Church at 8 Holmes Street. In Poughkeepsie, we meet right now, it's every second and fourth Wednesday at the Sadie Peterson Delaney African Roots Library and the Family Partnership at 29 North Hamilton Street. And in Newburgh, we're just starting to develop a group. So we're doing film series and a book read right now in Newburgh.
So I'm curious to both of you who are on the outside, who are involved in this campaign and the organizing to really look at the impacts of mass incarceration on the society. So how did those experiences being inside prison shape you and your work on the outside here?
Well, I noticed that there was a lot of abuse in the criminal justice system. And I ran into a lot of guys that did not actually do the crime that they were in there for. And I say that because I worked in the law library for a number of years, and guys would come there and they would say, you know, they needed help. And I would just ask them, you know, we'll bring your minister on the trial and all of that. And it was amazing how many people it was that, well, I guess you just say it was just railroaded. You know, I've heard stories and guys telling me about them just riding down the street in Brooklyn on the bicycle and officers just coming and picking them up, you know, and charging them with a case or, you know, a body, murder, just to get it off the books. And I know there's always two sides to every story, and it's like Odell has the side with the, you know, the Jim Crow, and me, I take the other side of the coin where I'm concerned about not only the people that were unjustly convicted, but also the people that were justly convicted also. And what I was concerned about when I got in there, when I noticed when we were standing in line, we were going to the mess hall or whatever, there was a lot of complaining. You know, like, look at that police. He don't do nothing but work. Or, you know, this food, you know, what are they giving me this food for? And then it amazed me while I sat there in the mess hall with the guys at the table, and I was saying, I said, man, you know, I worked hard to get in here. You know, and one thing that happened in my life is back in the 60s, as a matter of fact, 66 is when I went into my first drug program. As a matter of fact, it was the first drug program that hit here in New York. It was called Daytop Village. And right then and there, at the age of 18, I stayed in there for 2.5 years, but I learned how to start turning my finger around to point to my own face, because we like to point to other people to blame them for the wrongs that we have done. And that was the main thing that I wanted the guys to see, that I was in there with. Hey, yeah, right. Man, take a look at what you did.
Right.
You did what you did, all right? Handle it, you know? Don't take them and blame it on somebody else, because if we continuously blame something on somebody else all the time, we'll never see our own wrongs and we'll never prosper in our life or go in the right way. So, like I said before, you know, seeing Attica on TV, and then when I went in, and my scope was on that particular area of the incarceration. Now, even in my conviction, I did what I did. You know, I was dealing drugs, doing burglaries, and I got busted, and I was in there. But what I wanted to do was, even more so, was to see what I could do now that I was in, and I knew I needed help, was to help other people also. And the biggest thing that I learned this particular time when I got out, because I got out on June 6th last year, 2013. But, I mean, I had to look at myself, and I had to put my pride down. And I went in at the age of 48, and that was my fourth time going in. And this time I shut my mouth and I opened my ears, and the young kids were teaching me things. Because I was always too proud to think that anybody could teach me anything, because, you know, I'm a dealer, I'm a gangster or whatever, and I appreciated the fact that the troubles that I was getting into, I saw as God's way of spanking my butt to get me to do right. That's why when you asked me about the song, which one I would like to talk about is one song called It's Okay. And the first line goes like, you know, it's okay, God has forged it, and I'm not sorry for it. My companion suffering is my friend. It's the fire of the Holy Ghost that gets rid of all sin's dross through my trials and tribulations. Because most of the times when we go through things, it's for a reason. And I see that, you know, being 66 years old now and looking back at the past, I see that the way life is, it's a learning experience, and if you don't catch hold to what it's trying to teach you, then you'll never get out of the hole.
Well, let's take that as an opportunity and an invitation for a quick musical break, and we'll play It's Okay on Robert Hayden's album Get Right. You just heard from Robert Hayden himself. The artist is in the WGXC studio speaking about his experience, and we'll get to hear from his music. And when we return, we'll also hear from Robert Hayden as well as Odell Winfield from the End New Jim Crow Action Network. You're listening to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. This is It's Okay by Robert Hayden.
It's okay, God has forged it, and I'm not sorry for it. My companion suffering is my friend. Now is the fire of the Holy Ghost that gets rid of all sins, draws through my trials and tribulations. And the furnace of affliction, the Lord has taken my addictions and put them upon my feet. Now I'm more than a conqueror, and there is no one in this world as greater than Jesus who's in me. Is greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. There's no weapon that can prosper against the church in heaven. Father, no pluck us out of his hands to spoil our victory. Oh, God's rod of correction has been my protection, dishing out the chastening that I need. Oh, sometimes I get beside myself, thinking I don't need no help. That's when the love of God takes me over his knee. It's okay, God has forged it, and I'm not sorry for it. My companion suffering is my friend. Now is the fire of the Holy Ghost that gets rid of all sins, draws through my trials and tribulation. Is greater he that is in me than he that is in the world. He's my strength and my shield, my unmovable rock, my counselor and thee, O mighty God. The Lord has strengthened me upon the bed of languishing. He said the heart of the wise is in the house of mourning. Now I know that sorrow is greater than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made bare. But it's okay, God has forged it, and I'm not sorry for it. My companion suffering is my friend. Now is the fire of the Holy Ghost that gets rid of all sins, draws through my trials and tribulation. Now Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. Job lost it all, but still gave glory to God. Paul and Silas were locked up in prison, yet they sang praises to the Lord, and the doors were open to them. It's okay, God has forged it, and I'm not sorry for it. My companion suffering is my friend. Now is the fire of the Holy Ghost that gets rid of all sins, draws through my trials and tribulation. In the furnace of affliction, the Lord has taken my addictions and put them under my feet. Now I'm more than a conqueror, and there is no one in this world as greater than Jesus who's in me. Yeah, as greater is he that is in me than he that is in
the world. There's no weapon that can prosper against the church in heaven. Father, no blood goes out of his hands to spoil our victory. It's okay, God has forged it, and I'm not sorry for it. My companion suffering is my friend. Now is the fire of the Holy Ghost that gets rid of all sins, draws through my trials and tribulations. Through my trials and tribulations. It's okay, God has forged it, and I'm not sorry for it.
You just heard It's Okay by Robert Hayden on his album Get Right. And so we're having a conversation here in the studio with Robert Hayden, as well as Odell Winfield, who is joining us from the End New Jim Crow Action Network. And I'll just point that question at you. What is the importance of leadership of formerly incarcerated people in the movement to end mass incarceration?
Thank you. And that's a real good question. And the history of mass incarceration, I mean, it really goes back a long ways. We have to look at, you know, after slavery, what happened to all the free black men? And actually, the 13th and 14th Amendment was supposed to make us, quote, free. But if you read the 13th Amendment, in the 13th Amendment, it says that there should be no person held in bondage or other than if you commit a crime and you're sentenced to prison, okay? So prison became the new slave master, all right? Because the 14th Amendment, by the time the 14th Amendment came around and the end of the Reconstruction period, you had so-called new laws, vagrancy laws, pig laws. You had laws that if I was talking loud on the street, I can be sentenced to 30 days and with a fine. So if I can't pay the fine, I'm leased out by the correction system to a farmer or to a company. You know, most of the steel and the coal was dug in Alabama, in Shelby, Alabama, by black individuals that was caught, you know, in these so-called criminal activities. Now, as we became more involved with the criminal justice system, either by going to prison or by working with organizations, we start seeing the history of where it came from, but then we also start seeing the history of where it's going. And the way it was going was during the so-called 1970s, when Richard Nixon said that there was get tough laws and the war on drugs. Well, there was no real war on drugs. There were 300,000 men incarcerated at the time. Then the next person that came out with the get tough laws and the drug wars was Ronald Reagan. And Ronald Reagan started building prisons. And the prisons that he started building had to be filled. So how did they fill them? They started calling for a war on drugs. Now, you go from 300,000 individuals locked up across the country to today where there's 2.5 million individuals locked up. And most of the people that's locked up are either African-American or Latinos. Now, that's not saying that whites don't commit crimes. It says when you go to court, if you're white, you're more likely to have a lawyer, okay? And you're more likely to have some support, family support, community support. In the black community, where the individual get caught committing a crime, they're more likely got to use a public defender. And because of that, the public defender's caseload is like 5 times that of, say, a regular lawyer, okay? And so he's got to negotiate whether you did the crime or not. They negotiate cop-outs, as they would call. Right, so the meat grinder, the way men was really started putting in prison during mass incarceration was these non-victim crimes of selling drugs or using drugs. Now, these are victimless crimes, but that's the largest population in the prison complex, is the ones that hasn't committed a crime. The choice of me buying drugs, say from a seller like Rob, that's a choice that we have. But yet and still, we're the ones that's in prison most of the time. So we have developed a concept, an engine, when we say, how many men has been arrested this white? 1 out of 105, all right? 105 out of 10,000 or 100,000. Look at mass incarceration in Hispanics, all right? It's 1 out of 35 or 36. But blacks is 1 in 16, all right? 1 in 16. So, I mean, mass incarceration is identified as a way of locking up young black males. And it's something that we've been fighting for a long time. Like I said, when I stepped in prison, I seen 90% of the prisoners in there was black, you know. And being a part of the movement, I knew that, hey, something wrong here. What happened to all those that was involved in the civil rights movement that's not being locked up? And it became a fight that we were going to fight. We will do this till the end. Now, we're not just local here. This is a statewide movement. And it's in New York City. It's called a campaign to end the new Jim Crow. Up in the Albany area, it's called the Prison Justice System, the Prison Justice Network. And in the Mid-Hudson area, it's called in the new Jim Crow Action Network.
For people who are listening, you can go to www.enjan.org. You can also call 845-475-8781 for more information, or send an email to enjanhv@gmail.com.
Right.
I am curious to both of you. You say you go back a long way. You've known each other for a long, long time. And I'm curious how you all know each other, and then what you think as you both sit here really with sort of a similar message, but right, different strategies here. Right. Here you're showing up with a pamphlet and you're saying, this is the organizing work we're doing in our community. And you're showing up, Robert, with a CD with your music as a way to inspire and connect with people. And so thinking about your history with each other, you know, how have you ended up on these different paths, and what do you see in relationship to the work that you're both doing?
When me and Odell was coming up, like, we lived in Hempstead, New York, in a three-story apartment. And he lived on the first floor. I lived on the third floor. And we were in gangs, you know, from kids. And the whole thing then was we wanted to get involved in the world that was around us. And we did.
Right.
And with all of that was going on back then, we always had this thing in mind that there was a line that we wouldn't cross. You know, we're not going to school with two knives in our hand and stab up people. We didn't go to school with the guns and going into classrooms and shooting our fellow classmates. I believe we're under judgment today, and especially when I seen the towers go down. You know, when I seen those towers go down, I think that was the first time that I've seen a tragedy that I had to walk away from the TV and go into the bathroom when I was in prison and cry. And if we don't turn ourselves, you know, it's just like being in prison and telling them guys in there and saying, hey, man, check this out, all right? Take the blame. But now I'm out here, and it's not only people that's in prison. We've all got our things that we have to straighten out. Like I said from the beginning, I chose to follow Martin Luther King, you know, in the 60s, because, you know, that was an era that was kind of like no other era that I've ever heard of in the 60s. Either you was with one group or you were with another group, and, like, everybody was involved. And so the whole thing that was going on the TV, you know, me seeing in 1957 the bombing of the church with the three black girls got killed. Those things affected the whole black community. A lot of us have I've been scarred by it, and still scarred to the day. And my concern was, at first, when I saw it happening, I said, man, well, what's wrong with these white people? Mm-hmm. But then after a while, when I seen the freedom marches, and there was white people joined in the freedom marches, then I said, wait a minute, this is not a black and white issue. This is evil is what evil does. So I decided to go at the evil, you know, seeing Martin Luther King, and then I got, you know, into reading the Bible, because before I went into Daytop Village, a friend of ours, me and Odell's, you know, who grew up with us, he had a, and he was about our age, he OD'd and he died. And I felt bad. And I was dealing at that particular time, so I put more than enough heroin in my arm to kill me. And that was my purpose to do that. And nothing happened. And I knew that that heroin that I had was supposed to put me out of here. So that was an incident in my life that kind of like started waking me up. Because I wanted to leave this life. And so when I went into Daytop and my fingers started pointing around towards my face, and I started reading the scriptures, and I started listening to Martin Luther King and Jesse Jackson and all the people that were, you know, even the Temptations, you know, Papa Was a Rolling Stone, you know, because there was a message in every song that was put out there during that particular time. So I guess you can say that I followed that particular line with the message in the songs, because people like to hear music. People like to, you know, they'll listen to you when you're singing to them. Not a lot of times when you're talking to them, you know. And so this album, some people helped me out with it. I came home and I have some producers that from Cairo, New York here, Joe Gallagher and Pam Pasari and Carrie O'Connor and her husband O'Connor. They backed me on this. And because it's funny, I went to when I came home, I went to Chatham to a recording studio, and I put a couple of the songs into the computer, but the guy who recorded them for me, he just up and died out of nowhere. So his wife and another friend of theirs were able to retrieve Get Right out of there, out of the computer before, but he didn't have time to master it and put music to it. So when we did retrieve it out, I got 50 copies made, and I just started handing them out with the hope in mind that somebody would help me with this, and sure enough, some people did. So it goes back to me with what I was saying before, with about when I was in prison, and I was telling the guys, hey, man, you got to take fault for what you did. So it's like, you know, get right, man, right. You know, wake up, right. See what's going on in the world. See what's going on, not only in the world, but especially in your own self, right. And stop blaming everybody else for your bad outcomes.
So let's take a quick musical pause. You just are hearing from Robert Hayden, who has just come out with a CD called Get Right. So let's hear the title track to that CD, Get Right, here on the Prison Voices Project, WGXC 90.7 FM.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. Is no longer a baby in a manger in Bethlehem, but he rose on high, sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming back again. If you're not
right, get right if you're not right, get right if you're not right, get right, he's coming back again. Hey, if you're not right, get right if you're not right, get right if you're not right, get right, he's coming back again. Now when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and he'll sit on his throne, and you know the story, to gather all the nations to Jerusalem. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. He's coming back again. Hey, if you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right, he's coming back again. Now when the shepherd separates sheep from goats, he'll divide those nations. Then every man and woman shall be judged according to who the way they treated him. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. He's coming back again. Hey, if you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. He's coming back again. He'll say to those sheep nations, when I was hungry, you gave me some meat. And he'll say, when I was thirsty, you gave me some drink. And he'll say, when I was a stranger, you took me in. And he'll say, when I was naked, you clothed me. And he'll say, when I was sick, oh, behind prison walls, all of you came to see me behind those bars. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. He's coming back again. Hey, if you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. He's coming back again. Then he'll say to those goat nations, when I was hungry, you gave me no meat. And he'll say, when I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. And he'll say, when I was a stranger, you did not take me in. And he'll say, when I was naked, you did not clothe me. And he'll say, when I was sick, oh, behind prison walls, none of you came to see me behind those bars. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. He's coming back again. Hey, if you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. He's coming back again. And again, he will say to those goat nations, whatsoever you done to the least of these, man or woman, you done it unto me. Go to eternal punishment. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. He's coming back again. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. If you're not right, get right. He's coming back again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth his goodwill toward men. Oh, Jesus Christ is no longer a baby in a manger in Bethlehem, but he rose on high, sits at the right hand of the Father, and he is coming back again. If you're not
right, get right if you're not right, get right if you're not right, get right, he's coming back again. Right if you're not right, get right if you're not right, get right if you're not right, get right, he's coming back again. If you're not right, get right if you're not right, get right if you're not right, get right, he's coming back again. If you're not right, get right.
That was Get Right by Robert Hayden. And thank you, Robert, so much for joining us. I'm going to turn for a moment to Odell Winfield, who's a friend of Robert's. Grew up together, spent time together from a young age. And I was just asking, sort of, you've chosen different paths in this struggle and right. Curious what that means and how your friendship holds up through it and mm-hmm. the history you have.
Well, it goes back to the projects. Rob and his brothers were spiritual. I was never really spiritual, although my family was spiritual. I was raised in a church, but what I got out of the church was different than what Rob got out of the church. I still believe in Jesus Christ, our Savior, sure, but I also believe in no investigation, no right to speak. And what I did was I learned through analytical formulas that the prisons today and the prisons yesterday was all about who was in there as the convict and who was in there as the correction officer. And it, to me, it was just like during the South, you had the community people, say in Shelby, Alabama, but then you had the white citizen council who was the head. All right, criminal justice is the same way. You got those that control the inmates in prison, but you also got those that control the inmates. And the laws that they have created is still based on Jim Crow laws. Right now, I can get out of prison like Rob is home. You know, there's things that he can't even apply for. He can't apply for food stamps. He can't apply for. I mean, if his crime warranted, and a lot of young men, he can't live with his family if they live in public housing. You know, there are certain jobs that he can't apply for because of his criminal background. So I mean, you know, these are the same kind of laws like was back in the Jim Crow era, where they said whites only, blacks are, you know, coloreds only. You know, they don't serve at this counter. You know, it's the same thing. So, like I said, we came from the same background. We lived in the projects for, you know, all our formidable years. But Rob has always been spiritual, you know. He's and you know, a lot of our friends went to council, you know, by going to Rob and say, you know, man, what happened? I can tell you some stories about us that, you know, go way back. But
what's one of those stories?
We have always been in so-called gangs, but it wasn't gangs like gangs today. It was gangs like, you know, we lived in the projects, so the guys in the projects formed like a club, right? Mm-hmm. But some of us took it a little further, like going to Jamaica, going to Brooklyn, you know, and going out to the other areas, something might happen. So, you know, one time my friend got shot, you know, and when he got shot, he said he was looking up and he seen these blue eyes and he thought he was in heaven. You know? We never seen white folks like that. That's when it was the insurance man or the landlord or something like that. But when you get shot, you laying there and somebody looking at you saying you all right, you think you in heaven, you know, that's the spirit that was in him. I'd have looked at it and said, I'm in hell. You know, these are the things that we laugh about. You know, we can laugh about today, but we're in the same struggle. And Rob and I are always going to be in the same struggle. Like he said, he went to Catholic school. I went to public school. And some of the things he told me about Catholic school was outrageous. But he's, you know, by playing basketball and football and stuff like that, neighbor, we had time to talk to each other and share, you know. But I think the struggle is always going to need the spiritual end, and it's going to need the, you know, the workers. And I consider myself one of the contractors, the workers, you know, in this struggle. Love my brother, always will, you know. That's how I feel about it.
I remember I had a counselor in Clinton Correctional Facility. It was a woman. She inspired me to go to college and to get my bachelor's in human services. One time we were sitting down, and I was told, I forget what I was talking to her about, and I said, "This is just not fair." And she said, "The world isn't fair." And that hit me, and it hit me hard. And I had to realize, yeah, the world's not fair. So I have to work to be fair in an unfair world. But like I said, I have to work at being fair, because a lot of times this world will try to change you to some areas where you don't want to go. Uh-huh. And I just thank God now that I did get the last time that I had. It was a significant amount of time. And I tell people that I would do that time all over again to get what I got this time. Because we would have festivals in prison. And we would clear out the pews in the church and have the round tables, and we had food sent in from the outside and have family visits there with us. And this guy was giving his testimony up in front of the church. He was one of the Promise Keepers, and he had his wife and his 10-year-old son, and he was telling us about his life in drugs. And then he said, "You know what I did one day?" He said, "Here's what I did." He pulled two chairs up front, and then he called his wife and his 10-year-old son, and he sat them down there, and then he fell on his knees between the both of them. And he said, "I'm so sorry for all that I put y'all through." I didn't start crying. I didn't start weeping. I started wailing. It was like God said, bang, right upside my head, "See what you've been doing." It was like the scales fell off of my eyes. And all of a sudden, I saw who I was. And I have a wife that I've been with since I've been 13 years old. I'm 66 years old now. We have 8 kids, 26 grandchildren. 8 of them are great-grands. And every time I would come home after doing 4 bids, I would never hear a wrong thing about her. So you guys in prison, you got a family. Think about them also. Not only yourself. Because when you get yourself locked up, you're not the only one that's locked up. Your family, your wife, and your kids are locked up also with them.
That's why I consider Rob spiritual. I could never put that in words like that. But I can tell you this. The story that he just told, the way I see it, you know, first off, to the individuals in corrections, hold on. We coming. Trust me. There are also organizations that's already coming into prison that you should take advantage of. And one of them is called AVP, Alternative to Violence Projects. Get that under your belt. And right now I know it's ingrained because I know the gentleman that's leading it. When it comes to the family, a victimless crime, such as drugs, has also made disposable families. These individuals that go to prison, like Rob said, you know, your family also is incarcerated in their own world. There are some reentry programs, and there are some programs for mothers, programs for kids out there that you should try and take part in your family's life by giving them information. Look some of this stuff up. You know, make sure that you're still in your family's life, because right now our enemy has created what we call disposable families. I might not be spiritual, but I know what I'm talking about, because no study, no information. And I believe in studying. Thank you.
That was Odell Winfield, and you've been listening to the Prison Voices Project on WGXC 90.7 FM. I'm so grateful to be here in the studio with Odell Winfield and Robert Hayden. I just want to say that, you know, so much talk in terms of parole reform, releasing people, getting some of the 2.5 million people who are currently behind bars in the U.S. out. I think that you two right here, right now, stand as the testimony, not only that so many of the people in prison don't serve a risk, but that we actually need them out here working with us, right? And so it's not just that there's no risk to people being let out. It's the other way. It's we need them. We need people to come out and to join the struggle. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And if you have any final closing words, you're welcome to share them right now.
Well, my closing words is there is one more song there that comes to mind that I have on my album called Hey Backslider. And I backslidden so much in my life, and a lot of you guys in prison, you'll know that they when we get into religion in prison, people usually label us as jailhouse Christians. But if you backslide, get up, dust yourself off, and get back in the race, because life is, we only go through one time. We don't get no practice with this. We all fall. And don't be ashamed that you fell. You're right in the world with all the rest of us. Just do this one thing, man. Get up, dust yourself off, and keep on going.
And we'll take it out with Backslider by Robert Hayden.
Why should you trouble yourself fulfilling all your sinful lusts when you know it is all vanity? Haven't you been through enough dragging yourself in the dust? And what about your family? Hey, 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 backslider, I've been where you're at. And the drugs and sex only kills the guilt for a moment. Have you forgot that the Lord, He is married to us? His arms are stretched out, and for you He stands here waiting. Hey, 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 backslider, of all people you know, what you sow is what you reap, and the chastening goes deep for those who know and don't follow. Why should you be beat with many stripes when you could be walking in the light along with all the rest of us? Oh, please come on home, none of us are perfect yet. Just come on and run this race, and Jesus will hold you up. Hey, 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 backslider, the Lord will not let you go. So stop grieving the Holy Ghost. Get back in the will of God. His yoke is easy, it is not hard. You can do all things to Christ. There's only one way to go, so get back on the narrow road. You know you have a friend in Jesus, just like the prodigal son. Get out of the pig pen. There's a party waiting for you, a robe, a ring, and some new shoes, a fatted calf, and many eggs. Backsliders who've been where you're at, why should you trouble yourself fulfilling all your sinful lusts? Haven't you been through enough dragging yourself in the dust? Have you forgot the Lord, He is married to us? What you sow is what you reap, and the chastening goes deep. Why should you be beat with many stripes when you could be walking in the light
along with all the rest of us. Oh, please come on home. None of us are perfect yet. Just come on and run this race, and Jesus will hold you up. Hey, 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 backslider, if you're walking down the wrong road, returning to your own vomit and wallowing like a pig in the mire, then surely you know you are on the broad way that only leads to destruction. Why should you try by yourself fulfilling all your sinful lusts when you know it is all vanity? Haven't you been through enough dragging yourself in the dust? And what about your family? Just like a prodigal son, get out of the pig pen. There's a party waiting for you, a robe, a ring, and some new shoes. A fatted calf and many eggs, backsliders who've been where you're at. What should you trouble yourself fulfilling all your sinful lusts? Haven't you been through enough dragging yourself in the dust? Haven't you forgotten the law? He is married to us. Have you forgotten the law? He is married to us. Have you forgotten the law? He is married to us.
Join New York Against Incarceration and Justice on Monday, May 5th. Cornell West will be the keynote speaker at a noon rally in the East Capitol Park in Albany. The rally will be followed by a march and legislative visits that demand a stop to solitary confinement, parole reform, release of aging prisoners, an end to discrimination of formerly incarcerated people, and a Truth and Reconciliation Commission that examines the racism and injustice in the prison system. For more information on the day of action or to find out about transportation, contact nysprisonerjustice@gmail.com or call 518-434-4037. You have been listening to the Prison Voices Project, a radio storytelling project highlighting the voices of people impacted by the prison system. The Prison Voices Project airs on the second and fourth Thursday of every month from 10 to 11 a.m. on WGXC Hands-On Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties. If you are listening to the program and would like to share your story, or you have ideas for the program, please write to us at 704 Columbia Street, second floor, Hudson, New York, 12534. If you have feedback about what you have just heard, you can email us at feedback@wgxc.org. Thanks for listening.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart.